Wait, Hold Up What, a podcast from the women behind Eliminate Girl Hate. Stories are the foundation of progress, and for too long, the voices of women and marginalized communities have been ignored or silenced. At Wait, Hold Up What, we're reclaiming space to share the struggles, triumphs, fears, and joy that shapes our lives. Join us as we explore the intersections of identity, equity, and empowerment, offering education, support, and a little inspiration along the way. Whether it's breaking barriers, celebrating wins, or tackling the tough stuff, this is a space for everyone to feel seen, heard, and uplifted. We invite you all to join the conversation and help us explore ways to eliminate girl hate together. Can a bra help change the trajectory of a girl's life? Did you know that nationally, only 20% of girls engage in at least 60 minutes of daily physical activity, a lower rate than boys? Or that girls' participation in sports drops off significantly from the ages of 10 to 17? Wait, hold up, what? Yeah. Some of the barriers that contribute to this include lack of financial means, lack of role models, dropping body confidence, and concerns about body changes, including breast development and the need for a sports bra. The simple intervention of a sports bra, along with the normalization of body development, can change the trajectory of a girl's relationship with body movement for her whole life. You heard that right. Her whole life. Every girl deserves to feel comfortable and confident in her own body. And that's why Bras for Girls partners with more than 25 athletic brands and donors just like you to distribute new, high-quality sports bras and breast development booklets to girls in need, ranging from the age of 8 to 18. Let's get girls in well-fitting sports bras right when they need them the most. Girls plus sports equals a beautiful world. You can donate to Bras for Girls today at brasforgirls.org. And as a side note, Eliminate Girl Hate has partnered with brasforgirls.org and will be donating a proceed of all merchandise sales to helping girls get in the bras that they need and keep them in sports. You can help by shopping the Eliminate Girl Hate store today.
How many times have you heard the words workplace and culture used together and found yourself rolling your eyes at the thought? Believe me, I'm with you. I'll be honest, as I record this, I just rolled my eyes. That's because the word culture has become homogenized in such a way that they actually had us believing ping pong tables and pizza were symbolic of a good place to work. COVID changed that. Remote work was a success in the eyes of many, and as such, our ideas of what constitutes a good workplace culture have changed, and it boils down to one crucial element. Equity. Now, don't you roll your eyes again on me. It's true. The expectation of employees is that they have a work environment and culture that works for them, regardless of who they are. No more cookie cutter swag and Pizza Hut deliveries, mandatory after hours, happy hours, and all of the other things they do to make us feel like we're a family. This is especially true for women. Remote work gave many more hours in the day, the flexibility to feel more productive and present, and a choice in how and what style of work is best for who they are and what they do. This is at the core of what equity means, because the old way was made for one group of people. And this is where Eliminate Girl Hate comes in. We help create safe and equitable spaces for girls and women, and we help the companies that employ them be more profitable in the process. Not rolling your eyes anymore, are you? Check us out at eliminategirlhate.com. Use code WAITHOLDUPWHAT in your contact form for a free consultation call and see how we can help you and your business.
Can a bra help change the trajectory of a girl's life? Did you know that nationally, only 20% of girls engage in at least 60 minutes of daily physical activity, a lower rate than boys? Or that girls' participation in sports drops off significantly from the ages of 10 to 17? Wait, hold up, what? Yeah. Some of the barriers that contribute to this include lack of financial means, lack of role models, dropping body confidence, and concerns about body changes, including breast development and the need for a sports bra. The simple intervention of a sports bra, along with the normalization of body development, can change the trajectory of a girl's relationship with body movement for her whole life. You heard that right. Her whole life. Every girl deserves to feel comfortable and confident in her own body. And that's why Bras for Girls partners with more than 25 athletic brands and donors just like you to distribute new, high-quality sports bras and breast development booklets to girls in need, ranging from the age of 8 to 18. Let's get girls in well-fitting sports bras right when they need them the most. Girls plus sports equals a beautiful world. You can donate to Bras for Girls today at brasforgirls.org. And as a side note, Eliminate Girl Hate has partnered with brasforgirls.org and will be donating a proceed of all merchandise sales to helping girls get in the bras that they need and keep them in sports. You can help by shopping the Eliminate Girl Hate store today.
How many times have you heard the words workplace and culture used together and found yourself rolling your eyes at the thought? Believe me, I'm with you. I'll be honest, as I record this, I just rolled my eyes. That's because the word culture has become homogenized in such a way that they actually had us believing ping pong tables and pizza were symbolic of a good place to work. COVID changed that. Remote work was a success in the eyes of many, and as such, our ideas of what constitutes a good workplace culture have changed, and it boils down to one crucial element: equity. Now, don't you roll your eyes again on me. It's true. The expectation of employees is that they have a work environment and culture that works for them, regardless of who they are. No more cookie cutter swag and Pizza Hut deliveries, mandatory after hours, happy hours, and all of the other things they do to make us feel like we're a family. This is especially true for women. Remote work gave many more hours in the day, the flexibility to feel more productive and present, and a choice in how and what style of work is best for who they are and what they do. This is at the core of what equity means, because the old way was made for one group of people. And this is where Eliminate Girl Hate comes in. We help create safe and equitable spaces for girls and women, and we help the companies that employ them be more profitable in the process. Not rolling your eyes anymore, are you? Check us out at eliminategirlhate.com. Use code WAITHOLDUPWHAT in your contact form for a free consultation call and see how we can help you and your business.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Wait, Hold Up, What? I am your host, Dawn. And on today's episode, we are going to talk about goals. I know, I get it. Some people get a little eye-rolly or, you know, when they think about goal setting. And sure, I get it. I get it all. But I want to talk about it because I do think it is this important element that we ignore and then we get upset because things aren't happening the way we wanted to or the way we had hoped. And I personally really believe in goal setting. It's a big part of my life. And I think I do it slightly different than other people, but I do it with this knowledge or backed by research. And so here's what I will say first. If you are doubtful or you're about to say, skip, I'm going to go to the next episode, please wait, okay? The first thing is goal setting and resolutions, two different things. And if you're like me and many other people, if you did set a resolution on December 31st or January 1st, whatever, you likely have already put it to the wayside or forgotten about it or slipped up a time or two, which is fine. You got to rebound. We'll talk about that. But there is a difference between goal setting and resolutions. Like I said, nobody should be making resolutions or goals over martinis and midnight kisses. Go party, have fun, say goodbye to the old year and say hello to the new year. Goal setting is a process that takes planning and consideration. And when done correctly, it actually can provide intensely productive results and help you get to the next step of whatever it is that you're looking for. And research backs this up. There are studies that show that people who write down their goals are 42% more likely to achieve them. And people that then report their progress or have some form of accountability to it see as much as a 40% increase in their success rate. So These are great stats, but it also shows, like, in work environments, 90% of people have better performance when their goals are challenging and demanding. There's increased employee satisfaction. People feel more proud and more motivated with accountability. Maybe you're a little intrigued now. And so this is what I want to talk about. And I'm so excited to talk about it with you. You ready? Okay. Here we go. It's 2013. Picture it. Much younger, much more flowy hair, much thinner, and living my best life, right? For me, New Year's has always been this holiday that I haven't loved all that much. And so I try to go somewhere if I can financially and am able to. And in 2013, that was an opportunity that I had. And so I went to New Mexico. And I was very, very lucky to have a couple of girlfriends come with me. And before we went, you know, none of us had ever been there before. And we were going to a healing water spa because that was kind of what I wanted was. I wanted this really peaceful environment. I wanted to bring the new year in with kind of positivity. And I talked to them about, like, really setting goals. Like, what was this next chapter of my life going to be, right? At the time, I was maybe 37 years old. Like I said, young, flowy hair, whole nine. And, you know, you start heading towards 40 and you start to look at things differently. And so I said, guys, let's do it like a retreat and we can do goal setting and vision boarding. And luckily for me, they did not roll their eyes and they were game. And so we went, and I planned everything because that's just kind of a love language of mine, and I really, really like to do it. And so I had found this location. I'm going to give them a shout out because I have been back to this location since and their sister locations, and it is such a place of healing and reflection, and I just loved it. So it's a place called Ojo Caliente in New Mexico. They have a sister location in Santa Fe, but this one is kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's 45 minutes from Santa Fe and 45 minutes from Taos. It's so cool. And it's just the middle of nowhere. Anyways, I digress. It is a place that boasts some of the oldest healing waters or natural hot springs in the country. And they also have a chocolate cigar that, no joke, will change your life. I sobbed hysterically while eating it. It was so delicious. And I still talk about it 11 years later. So there you go. Anyways, I made little gift bags with all the supplies that we need because, of course, I'm way too extra, right? And so there's chocolate and wine, the essentials. But there's also, like, you know, I put some little crystal bracelets in there, journals, writing utensils, and some unique personal items so that we could really kind of go on this journey together. And I actually have these notebooks right here. Sorry for the external noise as it's shaking up. But do you remember back in the day when Target used to do, I mean, I guess they still do it. They do those, like, designer collabs. So this was one of their collabs. It's Carolina Herrera. And they had, like, pencils and they had notebooks in them. And so I got each of us them. And this really set the stage for what we were going to do that week. But also, I still use this box every single year. And this is kind of what we're going to walk through today. So don't worry. I'm not going to get too in the weeds because I know this isn't for everybody. This is just kind of a snapshot. You can email me if you want some more information. I'm happy to share. As part of the process, I wanted us to do a lot of these exercises together so that we could have what we talk about a lot on this show, a supportive and demanding community. This meant that they could help me see some of my blind spots and I could do the same for them, but we also could maybe drive some accountability in the process of this. And so our goal was simple. We wanted to leave the weekend with goals for the new year. That was it. And how we go about doing that, we had all sorts of ways, but that was ultimately what we did. And so I had done a bunch of research and I knew that there were some important components of goal setting being successful. So writing it down. And people always ask, can I type it? Can I write it? In my opinion, and if you read the research, the actual art or act of writing pen to paper does something with the synapses in the brain to make that information stay with us longer, more impactfully, et cetera. In addition, there's a lot of research out there about visualization. You've probably seen it. People use it in sports and music and different art careers. But being able to put a visual perspective to your goals, I thought would be kind of cool and important. I wanted us to be specific and really dig in. Obviously, with all goal setting, every expert tells you you've got to have a deadline, you've got to have specifics, and you have to have accountability. These were my accountability partners. So done, done, done. Okay, so this is what we did. The first step was we enjoyed our surroundings. We got in that hot water. We did mud baths. We went into the grotto. We had a little wine. We did all the things. It was lovely. We even did yoga in a yurt, which was just phenomenal. And at this particular place, they use this recyclable paper and they have you write your intention on it and hang it on a tree in the yurt. And then in the spring, they then plant that paper into their garden so your intentions can grow. I get it. Not everybody likes that stuff. But I mean, why not? I want my intentions to grow. I'm all for it. I don't even care. So then we spent an evening with some calming music and some wine, and we decided we would goal set. This is where the notebooks came into play. So each of us got it, and I had done some research on what are the questions you need to ask when setting up the goals? And every research said that you first needed to take stock of the year you just had, right? And really get to understand your year in review. And so that's what we did. There were a number of questions that we had outlined and asked. And so I'll give you one of them. So the first one is, what am I the most proud of in the last year? And we wrote a list and we did it in quiet. Each of us did our own list. But once we were done and some time had passed, the people in the room were comfortable. We asked each other to share what was on the list. And because we were friends and we knew each other really well, what was cool and interesting about this is that vulnerability allowed them to see some things that maybe we didn't. So, for example, on my list that particular year, I had written a few things, but then they had reminded me of other things that I had done that I had forgotten about. And so they added to my list of these things that I was really proud and happy about and celebrating my wins. So not only did they remind me of it, but I had these people in my life who were celebrating me and I got to celebrate them. How cool is that? And there were a number of other questions that we asked of each other for that year in review. Things like, if there was a newspaper headline, what would it be to describe your year? You know, what were the things you wish you did more of? The people you wish you spent more time with? All sorts of things. I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty, but it's this idea of really taking stock of the last year and reminding yourself of the good, bad, and the ugly. And in doing so in a way where you're a little bit removed from it. So you're not beating yourself up or celebrating too much, but you're really getting this good sense of what that year was. Because that year then builds the foundation for this next year that you're setting goals for, right? It's not as if you just popped out of the womb and now you have a goal. No, my life was happening yesterday. And so it's extending what was happening yesterday into today, for lack of a better way of explaining it. Once we were done with that portion of the goal setting, our focus was then on what do we want to focus on in the new year? I just talked about, what was good, bad, and ugly of last year, but what would I like to continue and what would be the areas in my life in which I want to see results in the new year? Everybody goes about this a different way. I'm going to tell you what mine were in this year, 11 years ago, because to be honest, those core areas have stayed pretty consistent over the last decade for me. Those areas are health and wellness as one category, love and relationships as another, financial stability and growth, and then purpose and passion. And these were really my areas of focus, right? So what you can see is I haven't just jumped in and said, I'm going to lose 20 pounds by June, right? I really wanted to understand what does that mean for me? And so you get these kind of areas of interest and then you define them. What are habits around those areas of interest that you could focus on? And again, you're not getting super specific yet. You're just saying, okay, for example, if health and wellness is one of my categories, exercise might be important. My diet might be important. Vitamins might be important. Stretching. Things like of that nature, right? But I'm not actually putting an assignment to it yet. I'm just kind of saying, here are some of those habits that I could adopt in my life that might help once I decide what my goals are, help me to reach them in a more productive way and a quicker way. And then you start to get into your goals. So I read this online. I don't know who to attribute it to, so I apologize. But in each of those core areas of intention, that I had, the idea was to set a goal, 1 to 3 for each area. A goal is a dream with a deadline. That was how it was described. And I actually really liked that because I feel like it really simplified it and took the pressure off, but made it easy to understand. So I'm going to use the health and wellness category because I feel like that's a category so many people tend to focus resolutions or goals on. So if health and wellness was my category or my area of focus, for me, I put in 3 goals. To lose 20 pounds by, and I put a date in there. For me, it was a 6-month date. To be able to run a 5K without walking within 6 months, and to get a mental health therapist. Okay, by, and I had a date attached. Those were kind of my 3 goals in that category. So once you establish those, it's defining what you really want. So if we talk about weight loss, for example, I cannot control how many pounds I lose, but I can control what I put in my mouth. And that is where so many people miss the boat because they focus so much on the result and not the actions that you take. And that was really where we wanted to put our focus. So you want to kind of like quantify those outcomes with specifics. So for me, the specifics I put towards making those 3 goals in the health and wellness is to walk a minimum of 30 minutes a day, to cook at least 3 times a week when I was not traveling, to gratitude journal or meditation journal daily, to take classes at the gym, learn something new, a dance class, a yoga class, whatever. One of the things I put in is if I was watching TV, I was not allowed to skip commercials, you know, our little DVRs. I had to move during that time. So if there's a commercial, okay, let's do some sit-ups, right? I can easily do that and still be a couch potato. And then keeping track of my water intake, that was something. It was also something I learned that tracking was harder for me, which was a lesson from it, which is great. So once you kind of understand those, you move on to get leverage. So it's, what is that compelling reason or emotional reason? Why? What massive reason can I find for those goals? So losing weight, for example, some people, it's a vanity thing. No judgment, by the way. Like, I get it. We all grew up in this society, so I get it. But for me, as I look at this list, the losing 20 pounds for me was about reducing my bouts of depression and feeling better in my mind, body, and spirit, and to be a better example to my parents of why health is key, right? As my parents were aging, I can see that I didn't feel like they were taking care of themselves, and I can't convince them to do that if I'm not doing the same thing. Running the 5K. For me, it was about solidifying my strength and connection between my mind and body. And I never believed I could run even a mile. So it was also this kind of mind thing for me that I could do impossible things. And then the therapist probably seems pretty obvious. I didn't want to be depressed as much, right? I wanted to be able to understand where my depression came from, and I wanted to be more productive. And oftentimes, these bouts of depression kept me from being productive and from doing the things that I wanted to do. And so that becomes really important for what it is that you're doing. All of these things give you
the reason behind it. They give you the action for it. And then again, the deadlines for it. So these are rough, quick examples because we don't have all day. If we were going through this process one-on-one or in a coaching session, we might really dig into it and walk through it. But I just wanted to give you some examples. So once you do all of this, you've got your reason, you've got your action, you've got your accountability, you've got your habits. For me, it became important to figure out, how do I make a visual representation of this? Because I'm not going to look at this notebook every single day. Ugh, how depressing, right? But I can create something that I could look at it every day that would be a reminder. And so for me and for what we did, that was vision boarding. Don't roll your eyes again. I promise it's not as bad as you think. And I'm actually going to show you an example of what we did, okay? So still with me, still staying on here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So people do vision boards all sorts of ways. And you know the basic construct of it. You get a bunch of pictures, you get a bunch of magazines, and you cut out things and you glue them onto a piece of paper. Now, I'm going to remind everybody that I am super extra. And so I had to look behind me to see if I could find the additional ones because I do this a lot. But I found the one from 2013. And so I thought I would show you that one. Now, when I say I'm extra, it's because I was like, okay, I don't want some poster board hanging in my house. Ugh. No judgment to poster board, but apparently I was very bougie at 37. So what I did instead was went to Home Depot, got some wood, and figured out how could I hang this in my house in a way that wasn't embarrassing. So I did one for each category that I was focused on. I'm just going to show you the health and wellness because that's the one we've been talking about. But I will share pictures of all of these on social media so you can see them or our website. I don't know. We'll figure out. It's kind of big. So as I'm placing it here, for those of you watching, for those of you not watching, because this is a podcast, not a video cast, I will put the pictures up. I'm so sorry. But the idea was simple. I went and looked for things that might inspire me and be a reminder to me of why I was doing all of this. So on my vision board, there are quotes, there is imagery, there are people that inspire me. There's reminders of what healthy food is, right? Just seeing the visuals, colorful food, things that reminded me to think healthy, live healthy, feel healthy. You know, there's a quote on here that says, maybe the best way to slow down is to sleep a little more and pay a little bit more attention when you're awake. What a great quote. There was a quote that says, I want to be a beacon of light in darkness. I want to be a poster boy of possibility. Now I wish it said girl, but whatever, it's fine. Or happiness isn't being cheerful all the time. It's being interested in things, finding out more about something, learning how to appreciate something better, incorporating something new that fits with what they already have. All of these types of things that meant something to me or spoke to me. I cut them out. I decoupaged them on a piece of wood. I took some rope or I can't even remember at the time, but I put some holes in it and I hung it up on my walls. And every day for that year, I saw these in my life. The health and wellness one was in my kitchen. The financial one in my office. The love and relationship one was in my bedroom. They were in the places in which those things might work. Anyways, that is what we did. And so we did these vision boards together. At least the start of them. I finished mine at home, but we did them together again over some wine, over some really delicious food. We actually sat in the bar of this place we were staying in the afternoon and did it after soaking in hot water. Who wouldn't love that? This visualization practice helps to connect the synapses. I use that word a lot in the brain. We know certain people learn different ways, right? Some people learn through audible, some people learn through talking, some people learn through doing, seeing, all these different ways that capture our senses. And I really feel, as a person, that we need all of our senses involved in order for us to really move forward in something. And so I couldn't figure out how to do goal setting with smells, but, you know, these sights and sounds and what I heard and what I listened to and what I consumed, I could control that. And so that's what we did. Once we were done with this exercise and we, you know, did all of our fun relaxing and bonding and all of these things, the other thing that I felt was important was to leave something behind. And this may sound weird, but a lot of us let the past kind of dictate our future. We get stuck on the past and we don't know what to do with it. And so sometimes it becomes this process of needing to leave something in the past or behind. And that's not always the easiest way to do it. And so what we did was we took our notebooks and we went on a hike the last day. And we each had headphones on, I think, and chose what we were listening to or what we were consuming. But when we found a spot that we wanted to go to, this is January, New Mexico, there's snow. And so not to overemphasize the cheese of the moment, but we were walking and all of a sudden I see this heart in the snow. I love hearts. Everybody knows it. My tattoos are hearts, whatever. So I see this heart. I stop them and I say, okay, this is the spot. And we pull out our notebooks. And basically the assignment was simple. What are you leaving on this mountain? What do you not want to take into the next year with you? Whether it's pain, whether it's habits, whatever it is in your life. And we wrote a note to the universe of what we did not want anymore. Now, we did not share this with each other. We kept these personal because it seemed like this needed to be a place where you had complete freedom to say and feel and be whatever you wanted. And for some people, that is really hard to do in a group setting. So we wrote them recyclable paper, biodegradable paper, and then we folded them up and we buried them in the ground. And in a lot of desert communities, you may notice they do this tradition of stacking rocks and they kind of look like sculptures. They were all over this area that we hiked. And so we did that. We stacked and made our own rock sculptures on top of what we were leaving in the mountain. We did a little prayer or meditation. You can call it whatever you want. And then we left it. And we went down, we packed our bags, we went off into our lives. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because this helped me so much. So much. That year, at the end of the year, when I did it again, because I did it again in 2014, I can tell you that 90% of the goals I set, I did. And the other 10% were partially there. They weren't completed, but they were there. Financial stability takes a while to build up, if you will. And there were some lessons that came in that too. And that is, I think, two or three, we'll figure out. The first one is the accountability became really important. There was some research that came out way back then that accountability doesn't mean we have to talk through everything with everybody. It could be as simple as, let's say my goal is to walk for 30 minutes every day. And my best friend knows that. So every day when I walk, I send her a thing that says, thumbs up or done. I don't need any more context than that. And all she does in return is sends me another thumbs up. It is a recognition that I did the thing I said I was going to do. And it works. There's something about it that makes your brain connect and feel pride and success and all of those things. And look, there's all sorts of ways to get accountability and you can figure out what works for you. But I'm telling you this so that you don't think you've got to have, like, I don't have to write progress reports, or I don't have to go, okay, this is what I ate, or, you know, a lot of diets or different things will tell you to track everything. That does work for people. And you have to find what works for you to hold you accountable and find the people that can support you in that. And that was what we did. And that really worked for me. The other thing that I learned in this was the word grace. And now I never shut up about the word grace, and I probably say it way too often. But the terminology that I like to use is grace and space. Before these exercises or this trip in 2013, I did not know that I was allowed to provide grace and space for myself. And it was this really eye-opening experience that, okay, I want to walk every single day, 30 minutes. But you know what? Today my car broke down and then I had to go do this and I had to, and life, my life is living so hard right now. And so you have to allow space to fall and rebound. And later in this season, we're going to talk about the art of the rebound and the power of the rebound and why it is so important. But we don't often get taught about that. And we don't often, we don't give ourselves the grace and the space to fail and to learn from that failing and then get up again and keep moving forward. You know, that's why resolutions often are so negatively talked about, because you do it and January 27th comes and you don't do what you said you were going to do. And now you're like, well, I guess the whole year is ruined. But it's not. We are human beings and animals that are going to consistently fail. And if we don't fail, we will never find success because we won't learn. And I know all of that sounds cliche. I get it. I've heard it all. But these things work, and they work when we allow ourselves to have it. Because more often than not, all of that is the advice we would give somebody in our life. And yet for ourselves, we're like, no, you don't deserve that. Or you need to be better than everybody else. And we put these unrealistic expectations on ourselves that are never going to work. And so that process really taught me to have grace and space for myself. I mess that up all the time too, by the way. But it did allow for that process of forgiveness and for rebirth and restarting. And so since then, this has been a continued process for me. I still use those notebooks. They're in the box. And to be honest, other than relooking at them, because I have a visual representation in the home, this comes out once or twice a year. It's hidden in my bedside table for when I need it. And then I can go and I can look. And for the last 11 years, I can see how much growth I've had as a human being and as a person, and where I might have slipped up and where I might have learned and pivoted. And how powerful is that, right? Because we're so busy today. We forget about yesterday. We forget about tomorrow. And we focus on all the negativity. And this has really helped me get out of that and train myself to know that there is always another opportunity and another chance to move forward. And that is why I wanted to share it with you. I hope that there were some valuable tips and tricks, and I hate tips and tricks, but you know what I mean. I hope there was some valuable information that will help you figure out how do you get to your next step and how do you do your next thing. And if you're interested in doing any of this or any of the resources that I use, you know, we offer classes and coaching and opportunities to do that. Just email us info@eliminategirlhate.com. Or again, I'll find some free resources and share them with you if financially that's not in your ability to do at this time and moment. I don't know what I'm saying. Sales has never been my thing. So at the end of the day, all I want you to know is that setting goals and finding people that will help you support you in that and demand that you do put some energy into taking care of you and getting what you want is so important. And at the end of the day, we at Eliminate Girl Hate, our whole goal is that. Our whole goal is to provide safe and equitable spaces for us to have conversations that will allow us to be the best version of ourselves. And so we hope some of this helps. Please check out our website, check out our social media. We'll continue to provide resources around things like this. And if you have something that you would like to talk about, email us and tell us. You never know what a future episode could be. Wait, Hold Up What is brought to you by the women at Eliminate Girl Hate. We are edited and mixed by the good people at Epiphany Recording Studio. Make sure to subscribe to get notified of new episodes and support our program. To learn more about the work we are doing, get resources to help you and or your business, please visit us at eliminategirlhate.com. And of course, don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at Instagram at wait.holdup.what and eliminate_girl_hate. As always, your support means everything to us, and it is the way that we can continue to make positive and uplifting program that supports women and girls around the world. Thank you.
Have you ever dreamed of writing a book? I know I have. Or maybe, also like me, you've started a manuscript, maybe you've started 10, and you've just never finished it, or never let anybody else read it, or never thought you could publish it. Wherever you are in the process, Jim Woods would like to help. Jim's a writer just like you, but he's also a coach who loves helping writers bring their books into the world and make them a reality. If you are like me, sometimes you need that push, a supportive but demanding cohort along the way to put your stories out into the world and keep you on track. Jim Woods is that cohort. Visit jimwoodswrites.com and click the Let's Chat button. Mention our podcast for a free clarity call and get your story out into the world because we need it. We are sponsored by Epiphany Recording Studio. Creativity needs to flow freely if you want to reach that aha moment that we're all looking for. At Epiphany Recording Studio, their goal is to create space that takes full advantage of those moments. From podcast and video production to music creation, you get the support you need to create compelling stories with a competitive sound. Your ideas can flow freely because they partner with you free of judgment, ready to be vulnerable, do the work, and make your projects look and sound their best. So let Epiphany Recording Studio help you reach your artistic vision by visiting them today at epiphanyrecordingstudio.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. Have you ever dreamed of writing a book? I know I have. Or maybe, also like me, you've started a manuscript. Maybe you've started 10 and you've just never finished it, or never let anybody else read it, or never thought you could publish it. Wherever you are in the process, Jim Woods would like to help. Jim's a writer just like you, but he's also a coach who loves helping writers bring their books into the world and make them a reality. If you are like me, sometimes you need that push, a supportive but demanding cohort along the way to put your stories out into the world and keep you on track. Jim Woods is that cohort. Visit jimwoodswrites.com and click the Let's Chat button. Mention our podcast for a free clarity call and get your story out into the world because we need it. We are sponsored by Epiphany Recording Studio. Creativity needs to flow freely if you want to reach that aha moment that we're all looking for. At Epiphany Recording Studio, their goal is to create space that takes full advantage of those moments. From podcast and video production to music creation, you get the support you need to create compelling stories with a competitive sound. Your ideas can flow freely because they partner with you free of judgment, ready to be vulnerable, do the work, and make your projects look and sound their best. So let Epiphany Recording Studio help you reach your artistic vision by visiting them today at epiphanyrecordingstudio.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.